church say amen.
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 Amen. Let the church say amen again.
Amen.
All right, that's more like it. I heard Brother Dean. Yes, sir. All right, give me the Bible. All right, that's it. That is the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. That basic instructions before leaving earth. All right, that's what we need. Follow the Bible. So this morning's lesson is entitled From Labor to Reward. From Labor to Reward. And as myself, I consider myself a laborer in a sense. I mean a hard worker. I gotta believe my parents and grandparents installed that in me. That I was a Hebrew slave at home. I'll tell you a story about my grandmother. I used to stay with my grandmother. Grandma would wake me up. I want you to do some things for me. I want you to go cut the grass. So I go outside, cut the front yard. I'm done, Grandma. I want you to cut the backyard, too. Grandma had a big house. So I go out in the front yard, cut the grass. Go in the backyard, cut the grass. Come in the house. Okay. I want you to go outside and wash my cars. My grandma had two cars. Go outside, wash the cars. So I go wash both of the cars. Get done, Grandma. Done, Grandma. I want you to go out in the garage. Why don't you straighten some stuff out there? I need to get some stuff out of here. Go out there and straighten the garage so I can move about in there. So at that time, I done got hip to with Grandma, and I'm working on my escape plan. By the time I get done with the garage, I don't go back in the house. I go down the street where my friends work. Then I come back later on, and my grandma, she'd be talking to her sister, my aunt, or my mom, or somebody, and you know what she'd say? That boy lazy. She talking to me. That boy lazy. And I'm like, Grandma. Hey, Grandma. But I understood once, you know, growing up, because my grandma was a very hard worker. She had a large family, several kids. Growing up working in the field, she was a very hard worker. She would wake me up in the morning and you would have breakfast. She always had breakfast going. You'd wake up to biscuits and homemade cooking, and she'd make sure you eat plenty. Okay, you want some more? Go get you some more. She makes sure, because she's going to work that food all night. She makes sure you're going to eat. By the time breakfast was over, Grandma was already working on lunch. She was preparing lunch. When lunch was over, she would start doing her chores, washing clothes, et cetera. Then she would basically maybe sit down for a little while, eating peanuts or pecans, and she would fall asleep. Then she would get up, and she would get back to work. She was preparing dinner. All right. Then she would have dinner prepared. Make sure you eat plenty of dinner. Everybody in the neighborhood can come to Grandma's house and eat. All right, by time, it was time for me to go to sleep, 10, 11 o'clock. Grandma was in the kitchen, and she was washing dishes. So this was her day. She would wake up, and she would work hard all throughout the day. She'd have her breaks and things like that, but she was a hard worker. And she helped install that in me. She would help me to have a good work ethic, and that helped carry me a long way in life. You know, I'm a hard worker, as I say, and I believe I learned that from my parents. So, as a kid, I know Angel's the only one that's a youngster here, your parents is asking you to do something to clean up, it's good. It's going to help you. It's going to help you to develop a work ethic in you. It's going to help you to have discipline in you, and it's going to help you in a long way when you go to work in life, all right, and also as we serve the Lord there. So don't get mad at your father and your mother when they ask you to clean up. Just go ahead and do it, Mom, and do it with a smile on your face, because it's going to help you out in life. And speaking of laboring, it reminds me of one of my favorite commercials. I don't have a whole lot of favorites, but this is one of my favorite commercials, and it is a commercial about the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgery. All right? And it's a commercial there about how kids or to be active so that they can develop strong bones at a young age, all right? And it's about that how the chores and things that we used to do in our age, our kids don't do the same chores. And it is about a grandma and her grandson, Winston. All right, so the commercial goes like this. Grandma's in the kitchen. She's wiping down the counter. She calls her grandson, Winston. Winston's in the room playing video games. He tells Grandma, "I'm in the last inning, Grandma." So he doesn't go and answer Grandma when she calls. So he's in the last inning. Then they show Winston go out to the garage. The garage door opens up. Winston looks up on the side of the road, on the wall, and he sees rakes and other tools there. And then you see Winston out in the yard. Are you thinking he's going to take the rake and go out and rake the leaves? But they show Winston sitting in an office chair in the circle of the leaves with a leaf blower. and he's blowing all the leaves together. All right, so the next scene is they show the dog, and he's on a leash, and it looks like the dog is being walked. But as the frame opens up, you'll see that the dog is on a treadmill. Winston's holding the leash, and he's laying down on the couch watching TV. The next scene in the commercial is Winston's on the computer, and he has a grape soda. He runs out of grape soda, so he picks up his cell phone, and he makes a call. Grandma hears the phone ring. She's in the living room folding clothes. She gets up, puts her clothes down, gets the cane, and she starts making her way down the hallway. As she passes, going down the hallway, she passes Winston's room. And she goes into the kitchen, and she answers the phone. She says, hello. And Winston's on the other end. He says, hey, Grandma, how about another grape soda? And Grandma gave him a look like, you little turkey. So the ending of the commercial was, Winston's laying in bed, his lights are on, and instead of Winston getting out of the bed, hitting the light switch, he just sits up and he claps his hands, and the lights go out. So it just shows us that a lot of the things that we used to do, kids don't do that today. They're not as laborious as we were, and especially not Winston. He was, that was one of my favorite commercials there, and it is about kids developing strong bones. They don't do the same things that we do today here in life. All right, so the lesson is from labor to reward. And this is to let us know that as Christians, we are called to God to do good works, that is to honor and to serve God, and to know that we will be greatly rewarded for our labors. That is in this life, all right, from the material blessings and also to the eternal blessings that God has for us. And to make it loud and clear, we are not working for salvation. Not what I'm talking about. We do not work to be saved. We work because we are saved. That is, we are in appreciation for what God has done for us, allowing us to have the forgiveness of the sacrifice that His Son has made for us, and be grateful for the salvation that God has allowed us to have. So we're not talking about laboring or working to be saved. We're talking about we are working for the Lord because the Lord has saved us. Right. So we want to look at Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. That's where we want to start at. The book of Genesis, and we're looking at the 15th verse. Mm-hmm. 15th verse of the second chapter of Genesis. We have one verse here, and it reads, the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. All right. So God took the man that he had formed, Adam. He placed him in the garden that he had planted, the Garden of Eden, and he had man there to dress it and to keep it, that is to cultivate it, to work it, to take care of the garden, all right? So man also had a reward because he was able to freely eat of every tree of the garden except the one that was in the midst of the garden, which was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So we see here from the very beginning of creation, God gave man work to do, all right? And there was a reward in the work that God had given for man to do there. All right, so that was from the very beginning, God gave man work to do, Adam. All right, so let us look at Ephesians chapter 2. In the book of Ephesians, here, chapter 2. And we're looking here at verses 8 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And it reads, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. All right, so there is nothing that we have done. It's not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, not of any works that we do as human efforts or deeds, lest any man should boast. So I am saved by grace through faith. All right, This is a gift of God. There's nothing that I have done. There's no works that I have done to earn salvation, to have this faith that God has given unto me. And then he tells us here in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we are, as Christians, we are God's workmanship. It is handiwork here. It's craftsman. God has worked us here, his workmanship. He's created us in Christ Jesus, and that is to do good works. That is to do good deeds, good acts of work there, which he had prepared for us in advance, all right, to be our way of life. So this is what God has done for us. So God saved us to do good works. Our purpose as Christians is to go out and do the good works that God has given for us to do. Jesus went around and doing good works. All right, the scriptures tell us that. Acts 10:38. We are to do good, that is to all men, but especially those of the household of faith. So we work, we labor, we do that which is good in the sight of the Lord. And there is a reward in there for us also there. So God has called us to go to work, to labor. All right. So let us go to Ephesians chapter 4. So we are in Ephesians. Let's just go to chapter 4. And we want to look here at verse number 28. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse number 28, and it reads, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. So this is a wonderful transformation here that has taken place in a person's life once they have become a Christian, all right? It's a wonderful transformation here. Their minds have been renewed. Their lives is to be transformed. They are to put off the old man and begin to live the new man. This is what Apostle Paul here is instructing unto these Christians at Ephesus. He says, let him who steal no longer. We as Christians should not steal. We're not the ones that are to steal. That is not what God wants us to do. All right, he says, but rather let us labor, working with his hands, what is good. So that tells me here, as one that used to steal, the old man, before he was a Christian, he was doing that which is dishonest. But now he's a Christian, he's no longer stealing, but he's working with his hands, he's laboring, he's doing that which is good. So he went from dishonest to now doing honest work. All right, and it's a blessing to be doing honest work. All right, you should think about, a thief, someone that is stealing things, taking things. Right? You have to worry about the person you done stole from coming back and finding out about if you stole from them or not. Your neighbor is looking at you wondering if you stole his wife's nice necklace and you broke in his house. And you're worried about those things. You're worried about if the police is going to catch up with you from the things that you done stole. But when you're in Christ, you don't have to have those type of thoughts in your mind no more. You got peace. You don't have to be looking over your shoulder because now you're doing honest work. You're working with your hands. So the one that was a taker is now the one that's a giver. All right. And the blessing is that he may be able to have to give to others. As Christians, we should be generous people. We work, labor, and now we have that enough to even give to other people. All right. I'm blessed. I have enough. God's blessed me, but I even be able to bless somebody else. Isn't that a wonderful transformation? To go from a thief to now I'm doing honest work and I'm giving to somebody else. And to me, that shows you no matter what your background may be in your past or whatever you do in life, no matter what it is, you're prostitute, you're out there, you're a crooked politician, you're someone out there that's a bank robber. He that done that, still no more. Do that no more. You can have a transformation in Christ Jesus. You can be changed. There is hope for you. You can give those things up, that way of life, and you can become the new man that God wants you to be, laboring, doing that which is good, and there's a blessing that you have and to be able to give to others. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Looking at here in verses 3, we will start here in verse 24. Colossians chapter 3 and verse is 22. I think I got that right. Colossians 4, 22. Colossians chapter 3. I got it right. That's why I kept saying, I want to make sure I got it right. Thank you. Chapter 3, starting at verse 22. All right, it starts off here, servants. All right, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as man pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto man, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. All right. So we see here he says this is talking about in the first century a relationship here about a slave and the master. All right. And I'm bringing it to us an application of employee and employer today. All right. So he tells us here, servants, obey all things your masters according to the flesh. So whatever your master to the flesh or your boss, you should obey them. All right. And he says, not with eye service as man pleasers, but with singleness of heart, fearing the Lord. So he says, don't do it, obeying your masters with eye service. All right, eye service meaning that when the boss come around, I get back to work. But when the boss ain't looking at me, I'm over here fooling around. All right, I'm over here chit-chatting with my co-workers or whatever it is. I'm over here on the internet, and here he comes, and then I get off then and start working again. So you don't want to do things to be doing it to be an eye service, to be a man pleaser, to please the boss. But you want to do it with the willingness here, singleness of heart, fearing the Lord. And then he tells us in verse 23, whatsoever, that's everything you do, do it heartily, willingly, as to the Lord and not unto man. So he's telling you when you're working, you go to that job and you work as if you were working for the Lord. All right, you go there and you work for the Lord. And I don't have to worry about what my boss coming around catching me not doing what I'm supposed to be doing because I'm always working for the Lord. I'm always doing what I'm supposed to be doing. By the time your boss come around and he see you doing that several times, he didn't even worry about you. Oh, Dante, he's over there working. Come over there and see you working and going about his business. You know that's what you're doing. All right, and we should be doing it here unto the Lord. So whatever you do, all right, if you're accounting, you do the numbers right. Your IRS, count the numbers right, all right? If you clean toilets, clean those toilets like Jesus is going to sit on those toilets. I know you're probably there. Okay, that's just, you want to do that job to the best of your ability as if you were doing it for the Lord. All right, and then he tells us here, verse 24, knowing that the Lord, ye shall receive a reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. God is going to reward you. All right, you'll get your paycheck reward, but God is going to reward you for you being obedient and working along with your master there as you should. The Lord will reward you because you work for him. He will give you that inheritance. Then he tells us here, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. But God is also letting us know if we don't do right, there's also a reward. The reward here is in a good sense and also a bad sense. So we want to be on the good sense. We want to do what the Lord has told us to do, working for the Lord, doing it with a cheerful heart, doing it not to please men, but to do it to please the Lord, and the Lord will reward us. Then he goes and he talks about the master too, how they're supposed to treat the servant as well, because he's talking to Christians. Both are supposed to be doing what the Lord wants them to do, and if he does, it's a perfect relationship. It's a wonderful relationship because we're working together to do that which the Lord has said. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and looking at verses 5 through 9. Corinthians 3, 5 through 9. It says, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God gave the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. All right. So there was some division taking place here with these Christians here at Corinth. Some were saying that they were following Paul. Others were saying that they were following Apollos. But Paul said that Apollos and himself, they were just ministers. They were just servants, all right, sharing the word of God here with these Christians here, help them to come to believe in the Lord. Paul said that he had planted, Apollos had watered, and he's talking about the word of God. Hey, the word of God is the seed. He has shared the word of God with these Christians here and shared that word with Apollos and Paul sharing the word of God. But Paul said they were nothing. You hear what he said? They were nothing. They were nothing. They were just servants. All right? They just served. They just planted the seed. But he said it's God that is important. He's the one that gives the increase. God is the one that causes the word of God to grow in man's heart. He is the one that gives man understanding in their heart. It is God who is important. Apostle Paul and Apollos, in their eyes, were nothing but just servants here of the Lord. Then he says they were one. All right, he says there in verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. So they were one. They were just working together. All right, they were servants. They had the same aim, same purpose, same goal, same mission. They were there for the Corinthians, helping them to be able to grow in the Lord by sharing the word of God. So we all one. We all are together doing the Lord's work. We're together. There's no competition, no big I, no little you. No one is in competition with each other. We're just sharing the word of God. That's what we do. We just go and we plant the seed, and God will give the increase. We never know as the seed how it will take effect in man's heart if they will come to God or not. That's God's business. Our job is to plant the seed, allow God to add to increase. So they were just laborers together, all right, with God also. So that is there in verse number 9. He says, we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry, you are God's building. So they're out working together and they're working alongside with the Lord. That's just wonderful to me that I'm working, serving the Lord, and the Lord is right there. We are co-workers. We're all working together for the purpose of the salvation of man's kind. And he says, you are God's husbandry, you are God's building. You belong to God. You don't belong to Apollos, you don't belong to Paul, you belong to God here. And then he tells us that every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Each of us will receive our own reward for the labor that we have done. We all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give account for the things that we've done. And our labors that we give unto the Lord is going to reward us. Let us continue on. Matthew's chapter 25. Matthew's chapter 25. And we're looking at verse 31 through 40. 31 Matthew 25 and verse 31. So we have here the judgment scene here. We have the Son of Man. He is separating the righteous from the unrighteous. He is separating the sheep from the goat. And what we do in this life will determine if we are a sheep or a goat. All right. So it tells us here in verse 31, it says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. 34. Then shall the king, speaking of Jesus, shall say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So the kingdom of heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. You probably have heard that before. And Jesus said, come unto them who are blessed of his Father, that they may inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Jesus explains here in 35, for I was a hunger, ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when we saw thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. All right, so these are things that Jesus says we're going to be judged according to. All right, and he says, when you have done this to the least of these, one of my brethren, you have done it unto me. Question here for me is, who are Jesus' brethren? All right, who are Jesus' brothers? Who is Jesus talking about here? Jesus was once told that your mother and your father, your mother and your brother are outside. They're waiting on you, all right? And Jesus said, who is my father and my mother? I mean, my mother and my brothers, sorry. And then Jesus told him, he that doeth the will of my father is my brethren, or is my mother. So those who are the brethren of Jesus are those who do the will of the Father. That's Jesus' brothers. All right? Those who do God's will, those who obey God, that's Jesus' brother, and those are Jesus' mother there, as Jesus spoke there. All right. So the point here I want to make is, so when we do for one another, all right, we do for Jesus. All right, you see that there? That's how we do for one another. When we do for one another, we're doing for Jesus. Why? Because we are the body of Christ. All right, so when we're doing for one another, we're doing for Jesus Christ there. All right, we can't physically give Jesus something to eat. We can't physically give him something to drink. We can't physically clothe him, and etc. But we can do that for one another. And when we're doing it for one another, we're doing it for Jesus. This is what Jesus has called us to do, and he is pleased with that. And then he tells us there on the flip side, verse 41. He says, then shall they say unto me on the left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger, a thirst, a stranger, naked, sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. So the difference is those who did for Jesus, did for his brethren, and those who did not for Jesus, all right? Those that did not, they were cast away into everlasting punishment. But those who did the things for Jesus, they're given unto his brethren. And Jesus says that you are blessed. Enter into the kingdom of his Father, and that you also have eternal life. So we will be rewarded for our labors, for our service that we give here when we help one another. All right, when we do what the Lord has required for us to do. Right. Let us see here. I'm going to skip that. Revelations chapter 22. Revelations chapter 22. Revelations chapter 22. And looking here at verses 12 through 14. Speaking here of Jesus, Revelation 22, 12 through 14. And Jesus says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Jesus says, I'm coming, and my reward is with me. Speaking of these Christians who have gone through extreme persecutions, all right, and they were being told that they were going to be put to death, and they had to be faithful unto death. So Jesus says, he's coming, and his reward is with him, all right, to give to every man according as his work shall be. So Jesus is coming, and he's going to give every man his reward according to what it should be, according to his works. Remember, reward is in the good sense and the bad sense. All right, so those that have not done what the Lord has required of them, all right, that's not going to be a good reward. But those who have done good work, the Lord is going to reward you. Then he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So Jesus is the sum of all things. He is the beginning, he is the end. And then he tells us in verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Jesus says those that will be rewarded according to their work, they will be blessed because they have done the commandments of the Lord. You see the works there? That's the commandments of the Lord. God only has one work that he requires for man to do, and that is to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. That is to trust and obey him. Do the commandments of the Lord, and you will have the right to the tree of life. You may be able to enter in through the gates into that city. He's talking about the New Jerusalem, and we'll be able to enter into the gates there of heaven and have eternal life. That is our reward for keeping the commandments of God, laboring as God wants us on this side of life. God will reward us. All right, so let us look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'll be closing here in 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. And it reads, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So the Apostle Paul, writing to his Christians at Corinth, says, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. And he just expounds on that. Be ye steadfast. Don't be moved. He says, be unmovable. Then he tells them to always abounding in the work of the Lord. Continue to abound in the work of the Lord. Continue to grow in the work of the Lord. Continue to do the work, the Lord's work there. Continue to labor. Then he tells them, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor, your works, your service that you give to the Lord, it's not in vain. It's not empty. It's not for nothing. The Lord is going to reward us and reward us greatly for the material things of this side of life that the Lord will give unto us, and also to that eternal home that God has for us because of the labors that we have here, that is keeping his commandments there. All right, so we want to stay faithful, continue to work, serve the Lord, and in context, Paul is writing to these Christians and he's telling them that your reward is going to be that you will be resurrected. That is your reward, that you will be resurrected. All right. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. All right. That's my lesson there for us, from labor to reward, to remind us that the Lord continuously wants us to go out and do works, that is good deeds, continuing to be faithful unto the Lord, as doing the good works, the deeds, and also helping others to come to Christ Jesus. All right. We do those things, keeping God's commandments, God will bless us. He will greatly reward us. We will be rewarded in this life, and also in heaven will be our home. All right, so that is from labor to reward. I know that we're all here as Christians here, but I'm going to give you the plan of salvation. All right, you hear the word of God. You hear the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. You have faith. All right, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. All right, you repent of your sins. Luke chapter 13 and verse number 3. You confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew chapter 10, 32, 33, and also as we read Acts chapter 8 with the Ethiopian eunuch. And then also we are to be baptized, fully immersed in water that we might have the forgiveness of our sins. Then we are to live faithful unto death. And if you do, the Lord will reward you. He will give you a crown of life. He will give us a crown of life. We have to continue to labor, continue to be faithful unto the Lord. If there's anyone here as Christians that we're here, and there is in our lives where we realize we have not been laboring, putting forth our efforts, being busy with life, whatever it's been, and not laboring for the Lord as we should, you can ask God to forgive you, all right? Make a confession for the congregation. We can pray for you to help you be strengthened in that area. Do whatever we can if you have that desire or any other desire at this time. So if you do, we can help you with any of those desires. You can come and let it be known as we now stand to sing song of invitation.
Down at the cross.